can make it look like you did anything, like we can fake all your trades. And I'm like, wait, what? I heard my mom on the phone with my uncle saying like, yeah, social media and the internet, it's got all my kids crazy. Like they all think they're gonna become millionaires online. And she would tell her friends, like, I think my son is depressed. He's just literally in his room all day long. So I ended up getting my first payout of $4,600. And I finally did something that I had been dreaming of, which was I took my family out to dinner. Having this next level of accountability where everything that goes wrong will be my fault so I can grow from it is what allowed me to cross the bridge of being a struggling trader to being a profitable trader. A couple months later, I end up getting funded again. Within 2 months, I cash out $70,000. And I was journaling every single step of it to figure out how I could be as precise of a trader as I could possibly be. Because I think the precision in the markets is what really allows you to take things to the next level. It was August 23rd, 24th, and 25th, where I put in 5K in an account and I end up turning that 5K to 17K, 17K to 40K, and then 40K to 130K by day three. And before anybody says this is fake, I did this live on YouTube. The ability to actually execute is what separates traders from gurus. I've seen some huge people sell courses, blah, 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 but when they actually step on the charts, they don't know shit. I've achieved great success, but I achieved insane success due to the fact that
Alright folks, here we are on Trading Up. We've got Ali Trades in the house all the way over there in Miami, Florida. Welcome to the show, Ali.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
Well, look, I know we're in for a treat here because this guy is not just some average trader. He's young, but he's very aggressive. So if you're looking for an aggressive trader interview, then this is the one for you. I mean, what have we just talked about? You flipped 5K to 131 recently, and you did last month, I think you said 5K to 40K. So you're an account flipper. That's what your passion is. And we're going to find out how you got into that, how it all started. So let's start off with that. What was your journey into trading?
So my journey into trading was, I was 17. I was broke. All I had were some funds I saved up on the side from video editing. I used to edit videos. And essentially, I was just looking for new ways to make money. So I used to run track. I was like a very, very big athlete. And back then, one day I was at like this private track training and somebody pulls up like in a fresh Benz, a young guy who's 21 years old, I believe. And he tells me, oh, I do trading. Let me get you signed up. And so I'm hooked. I'm like, yo, okay, this sounds fire. And I already had another editor friend who had introduced me to trading. He had told me he was making like $4,000 a month. You know, at that time I'm thinking, oh my God, I can open thousands of FIFA packs with this money, because that's all I was doing. I was hooked on FIFA and I was playing sports. And so I was sold. The guy gives me a call later that night. He's like, hey, you know what? Let me get you signed up with my mentor. We trade together every day. We all make money. He's like, it's $250 a month. You refer two people and now you don't need to pay. Now anyone else who's referred, you're making money on it. And I was like, wait a second. I couldn't even afford it. So I couldn't even sign up for that, and I ended up buying like some $10 course online.
Folks, if you're looking for a prop firm at the moment and you want someone who's been around for ages, flexible, reliable, and has low profit targets, then check out my sponsors, Blue Guardian. So these guys, I've been trading with them for the last 8 months. They've been sponsoring the show for about that amount of time, and they even have guys on my live stream trading them as well. So what I've found is their commission seems to be lower than some of the competitors out there. So really great trading environment, and they offer now CTrader and some other fantastic trading platforms as well. If you want to check them out, there's a coupon code in the description, or just use it, Trading Nut, all one word, and get 10% off at checkout. There's a QR code you can grab here as well. All right, folks, let's get on with the show. And how did that course go? Like, what happened with the $10 course? Let's hear.
So the course stated when you can flip a demo from 3K to 5K, you should go live. So day one, I was just on my minute one. I had just done the first sector, which was like support and resistance, and I learned it. And I was just hitting buy, sell, everything is going my way. So I wake up my brother, it's like 1 a.m. and I'm like, bro, I need to open an account. I wasn't 18 yet. So I do it under his name. We get the account open. He helps me. You know, he's like, I don't know what you're doing, but I trust you that you're not going to put my identity at risk. I was like, thank you, bro. So I get that open. And honestly, shout out to my brother Kareem, because he did open my first trading account for me. So we get that open. I have $3,000. I put them all in the account. I remember the first day I trade, I'm floating $2,000. Like, this is going
in
well.
In profit.
Yes, in profit. So my account equity is floating now $5,000, right? And I go to the mall. I'm with one of my friends. and I buy some fresh gray Balenciagas. I still have them with me. And I go home, whatever. I'm like through the roof, right? The trade's floating. I'm doing great. And I go to shower. I didn't even shower, man. I literally just ended up just using the bathroom real quick, wash my hands, come back, and my screen is red. And I was so many lots deep. I think maybe in profit, I was only up 8 pips at the time. Like, I wasn't even a good trade. All I did was guess my lot sizes when I was hitting buy. I was like, hey, you know what? 3.6, this is cool. And I started hitting and hitting and hitting until I couldn't open anymore. And then out of nowhere, you know, the numbers on the top right start going red. I'm getting margin called. I don't even know what it is. And all my trades end up closing out. I think I went from 3K that day to like 927. And then the next 2 days, like, I purchased some random signals and ended up blowing the rest of the account.
Damn. Okay. So were you even trading this $10 strategy, or was it just literally at that point you were just getting?
I just thought I was gifted. Like, when, you know, because I did the demo so quickly, I was like, oh, you know what? Nah, this was my natural calling. I found trading for a reason. I'm gifted and I'm going to keep crushing this. Oh, that was my whole idea behind it.
Yeah. Or the 1 day experience. So what happens from there? Like, you know, you got no money, you're basically back at ground zero. How do you build yourself up again?
So I just kept, luckily my brother Muhammad was a businessman. And, so he had like a lot of people who needed video editing work done. So he would always send them my way and he would tell me like, hey, you should charge this guy this much. You should charge. So I was making like $600-700 on a 15-second animated video, which, you know, took me a couple hours to make, but it was great money. Like I said, I was 17 and that was my source of income. So I was making, you know, roughly $1,500 on a week where I had work, but I didn't have work every week. So each month I was making like $2,000 to $3,000 at the time. That was going great. And I just kept loading it into accounts and try to, you know, flip them. And at the time I was just blowing them.
And were you using like a strategy at that point, or were you just?
No. At that point, I was humbled. I was trying to learn. There was like this like random group I joined, and I was like studying with them. And then I ended up buying a course. I bought Daniel Savage's course, if you know who that is.
Yeah, Daniel. Yeah.
Yeah. So I bought that course. I had, honestly, that course gave me my first ever profitable month. I'll say that. It was October, I believe, 2021. I was 17-8. I only traded GJ. So I had that. And my boy Lucas, who I went to high school with, actually was trading. So he taught me a little bit as well. And, you know, I was doing like the whole retail, the fibs, the pullbacks. It worked for a month. And then afterwards, it just didn't for me. And boom, everything down the drain again. I'm broke again.
Right. So okay. So work for a month. You had some success. What happened then?
At that point, I started learning about smart money and order blocks and, you know, just that style of trading. And that started to really help me. So at this point, you know, about 18 years old, I'm in my first semester of college and I'm trying to trade and I'm trying to run track at college. And I'm going to school, I'm at track practice, and I'm just constantly checking my phone, like, oh, how's my gold trade doing? Anyways, I end up encountering a really bad hamstring injury, which was recurring for me. And so I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to give myself one semester off, and I'm going to see where this goes. And during that time where I was dropping out of school, I end up getting funded. So I get funded, I drop out of school, and it gets to that January, right? So now we're talking January 2022. And I have $67 in my bank. And there's a course I was trying to get that cost $265. So I called my mom. My mom at the time was in Egypt. And I said, hey, mom, you know what? I know you don't like this trading stuff. There's one last course I want to buy. I'm going to get to work. If this doesn't work, I promise you I'm going back to school and I'm going to go get my degree and everything. She goes, okay. She sends me $200. I purchase that course. I do a little bit of it. And it starts going well. And then from there, I start journaling everything, documenting every single trade. I was sitting on the charts for hours a day. I mean, just trying to figure out, why did price reach from point A to point B? I mean, it got to the point where I remember this so well. Like, I heard my mom on the phone with my uncle saying like, yeah, social media and the internet, it's got all my kids crazy. Like, they all think they're going to become millionaires online, blah, 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 this, this, and that. And she would tell her friends like, I think my son is depressed. He's literally in his room all day long. And she just, I mean, I knew I was misunderstood, but I knew it was for a reason. I knew that the success had to come. So I was just grinding, man. I mean, there were times, the most I've ever done, and it was consistently, would be like 3 days in a row where I wouldn't sleep. Or like sometimes I'd be like, yo, hold on, I haven't ate in how long? And I'd be like, oh my God, it's been like 2 days. And then at that point, your hunger starts to catch up and you realize how hungry you are. But that's how committed I was, bro. Like nothing was going to stop me from reaching that next level.
Well, okay. So that's incredible. Sorry, carry on.
No, yeah. So I on that funded account, I ended up getting my first payout. It was that March of 2022, right before my sister's wedding. So I ended up getting my first payout of $4,600. And I remember I was ecstatic and I finally did something that I had been dreaming of, which was I took my family out to dinner for the first time. And it was, bro, the greatest feeling ever. And I was like, okay, this, what I'm feeling today, we have to find a way to do this on larger scales and keep bringing this type of feeling to myself. You know, in those moments, I feel like I'm doing what I'm meant to do.
What did your mom say when you took them out to dinner?
Oh, my parents were through the roof. I mean, my mom was happy, but I could tell my dad especially. It's things like that where my dad starts to feel like his children are becoming men, like his boys are becoming men. And he was very impressed. And they started to be like, okay, you know, maybe this isn't some Ponzi scheme that my son is part of. Maybe it's something real.
Yeah.
But they still weren't fully convinced, I'll say that.
So, okay, so you got 4,600, and then what happened? How did you get, you know, how did you go on from there to make sure it wasn't just a one-off thing?
So At the time, I ended up buying some crypto. I ended up investing some money with my brother, and I ended up just trading on my own. So then at this point, I managed to get myself to a $10,000 live account. And I remember, like, I didn't even understand that people on live accounts don't always just trade 1% risk, but I was trading 1% risk. I was smashing it. I would trade buy limits, sell limits only. And I was hitting like 1-6, 1-7, 1-8 risk rewards. Like my risk rewards are always, in my opinion, unmatched. Like, so I was consistently doing 30 to 40% a month on my 10K account. So that account started to grow, but I always rebalanced it to 10K. Like I would always withdraw my 3K or my 4K and then go back to there. So I did that consistently for about 5 or 6 months. And then I ended up remembering, well, actually somebody tried to sell me a mentorship. They were like, yeah, you know what? Like you'll be one of us and da 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 da. And I remember I had spoken to James Storms at the FX Summit. And I remember he said he did mentorship. So before I signed up with this random guy, I decided to hit up James again. Like, hey, do you still do mentorship? He's like, yeah. And I started looking into him. I actually watched his podcast with you, when he's talking about the US 30 sells and how, you know, he was talking about all that stuff. And I was like, wow, this guy knows how to trade fundamentals. This might be really important to know, because I didn't. I was staying away from them. So I signed up with James. We do a couple one-on-ones. I fly out to New York for an in-person class, start studying with him, learning fundamentals. And so he taught me the core principles of it, but it didn't stick with me. I had some sort of understanding. I remember I got back from that class and instantly flipped the 5K account to 15K just off of like the fundamentals I learned. Yeah, day one, I remember calling up James, yo, bro, you're not going to believe this. And he was really impressed. So we did that. And then I started getting lost in the fundamentals at that point. You know, I was like, oh, every news release, I have to trade, I have to do this, whatever, I have to predict it. But time goes on, I end up peeling myself away from those fundamentals and starting to just bridge into like my technicals, because my technicals were spot on and I just start hitting. And then a couple months later, I end up getting funded again. Within 2 months, I cash out $70,000.
Wow. Because I mean, one to seven, 1-8, 1-6 on just a technical basis that's like stellar. That is, I mean, as long as the win rate's, you know, half decent, it doesn't even need to be like fantastic.
No, I'll say this. I don't even care about my win rate. Like, this whole year, 2024, has been my lowest win rate. I've been probably about 50%, but I've been super profitable just because I've been knowing how to hit and how to hit big.
Hey folks, what a view behind me. I'm at Black Bull Markets headquarters here in Auckland, New Zealand. Speaking of views, you can get TradingView paid plans for free at Black Bull Markets, saving you up to $600 a year. That's right, get either the Essential Plus or Premium plans absolutely free, and all you need to do is trade from one lot a month at Black Bull Markets. And you can also get a 100% deposit bonus for your first deposit up to $1,000. All you need to do is click the Trading Nut link in the description below.
And so like the fundamentals like accelerate that 1-6, 1-8 kind of risk reward. I mean, what were you getting after that, those came in?
So when I did those two, when I made that 70K, I literally traded 2 days. The first one, and I had it like documented. It was a $30,000 day. I traded on a funded account. Day one, I hit 30K. I held the trade, I believe, for 3 days, if I'm not mistaken. And then the other one was 1 day, and I can't remember what news release it was, but I ended up buying gold. And it just ripped, like it ripped on up. And I ended up making two different 100K accounts at that point, and I did 23K on each one of them. So it was 46K. So I went 30K and 46K. And I just sat on that money. You know, I took my first trip to Spain. I enjoyed it a little bit, you know?
So to the, like when you're like, so you traded gold where, I mean, what, I suppose a question I got is really, what's your sort of, how about you on a gold, to get that kind of reward, I mean, what would your risk be? Or what was your risk to reward on that particular trade where you got 46K?
I believe it was 1 to 23. Like, I was risking 1K on that. No. That trade, actually, I was risking 2K on each account.
Right, okay. So it was kind of high risk for that kind of a box size account, was it like a...
So I had two 100,000 funded accounts.
Okay, right, okay.
Yeah, so I ended
2%,
up
seeing... Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2% risk on those accounts. Okay, so that's kind of high risk, but I mean, I suppose it comes with a high reward, right? Now, do you manage these trades at all? I.e., do you muck around with your stop loss, or are you just literally, it's either going to win or it's going to lose?
So those, at that time, it was very heavily like, if it's going to win, it's going to win. If it's going to lose, it's going to lose. But at one point, like after you're up a certain amount, you know, once you start getting to the point where you're able to record your trade and flex it and you're on a high, you got to move stops to break even. Like, in my opinion, you got to secure yourself somehow. And so even during, I mean, during that time, I was just letting it rip and it worked out in my favor. And I started to slow down a little bit. After that, I go to the FX Summit and I remember I asked Roy, the host, hey, you know what, man? I really want to further myself in fundamentals. And it was day two of the FX Summit. And there was this guy, Bob Elliott. And Roy's like, hey, you got to listen to this guy speak. So I actually saw him sitting before he hopped on stage. I went up to him and I was like, hey, you know what? My name's Ali. I introduced myself. And I asked him, what do you recommend for traders who are trying to get better at fundamentals? And he recommends me this book called The Art of Currency Trading by Brent Donnelly. Oh. And so using that book, along with, you know, just what I've known, kind of like from what James taught me and from my own research, that took me like to a whole nother level. So at this point, I'm reading that book and it kind of teaches you how to read the data, like what data is important, what you should be looking for and stuff like that. And so I believe this is like June or July and I'm studying that book. I mean, I hate reading. I absolutely hate reading, but this book, I forced myself to finish it A to Z. I mean, notes all over it, really just to dial in the concepts and everything. And it paid off because when August came around, it was August 23rd. 24th and 25th. I'll never forget that, where I put in 5K in an account and there was all red impact, high impact news. And I start looking, hey, where's it priced in? What's expected to happen? And I start, you know, drawing up my predictions, sitting there on my notebook, writing how all the previous data came out. And I end up turning that 5K to 17K, 17K to 40K, and then 40K to 130K by day three. And I remember I withdrew 65K and the first day I get back in the markets, I'm floating $73,500. I let it hit break even because I scaled in wrong. And if I didn't scale in wrong and I just trusted my initial analysis, though I was 250 lots deep. If I didn't scale in wrong and I trust my initial analysis, I would have hit 100 pip take profit. And I would have made 250,000 on that trade, but I didn't, you know, this is part of the game. I didn't cash that out.
That's incredible. I mean, the fundamentals, I mean, how hard was it to... I always find kind of, I've never dove into fundamentals in any sort of great depth at all. I mean, how hard for somebody who's like saying, well, I want to start and add fundamentals to what I'm doing. A, how hard is it to learn how it all works? And B, how hard is it to integrate with what you do from a, I suppose, your edge point of view, like your entry to try and get a fundamental entry?
I don't think it's too hard. At least the way I do it, I feel like I have like a very dumbed down version of it. And it's just, where are we priced in? Meaning like literally from a technical standpoint, do we look like we're going to sell off? Are things already ready to happen? Did we already have the sell off? Did we have the buyers come in early? Because sometimes things are very predictable in the fundamentals. And that's why you'll hear sometimes like buy the rumor, sell the news, where the opposite happens. And so my approach to fundamentals is very simple. I wait for a high impact news release, and either, like for example, let's talk about recently we had, like the other week was NFP, right? And so we created like an extra 180,000 jobs. The forecast was 187,000, and the actual came out to 353,000, right? Then I looked at the unemployment rate. That came out to 3.7%. Right, so less people are unemployed. Obviously, a lot more people have jobs at this point. The hourly earnings went up. This is all signaling to me that we had a strong economy. So at that point, okay, if the economy is getting stronger, we're going to have a hawkish pair, a hawkish dollar, because then all the tightening that we've done isn't necessarily effective. Like that's the way I was viewing it, right? And then when it came to CPI coming out, and I have literally a video saying like, hey guys, I'm trading CPI. This is me before the trade. And you can watch me just rip like it was like $11,000 in seconds like that. And so you'll see it was CPI. And inflation was expecting to come down. But I'm looking at it, I'm like, okay, well, even on Monday that week, on February 5th, our services PMI came out positive. It came out like, so the economy is still expanding. Everything is expanding. If everything is expanding, why would CPI come out negative? Why would we be looking to reach 2.9%? I don't know. To me, it seemed off. And then I look at where we priced in. I find, hey, you know what? We're in a really good order block or demand zone. You know, I believe order blocks are really just supply and demand. So I'm like, hey, we're in a really good order block here. I get my lower time frame confirmation. I end up buying. And as I say, like I record it, I document it. And I was right. I predicted that one correctly. So it's not always that I enter before the news, but when I feel like we have enough pre-existing data throughout the week through the recent news events, then I'm like, okay, this makes sense to enter before. Other times though, for example, we had some CAD news earlier this week. And it ended up smashing like a 1 to 4.5 just simply off of reading it. And it was CAD CPI. So I look at it. Okay. I didn't know what it was going to release as. But I waited for it to come out. So then I see CAD CPI comes out at 0.0%. I see we have the median CPI at 3.3%. And I see we have the trim CPI at 3.4%. All of these are beating the forecast, which meaning like it's doing better. So if the economy is doing better, then we should see a bearish CAD. So then at this point, I was on USD CAD, I believe it was, or was NZD CAD. So I knew it was going to sell because if this is bearish and it's the second pair, it's going to go up or it's going to, let me re-say that one.
It's going to go down. Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to go. Sorry, I lost myself there for a sec. I was like trying to pull up the trade. I don't know if you mind if I like show this type of stuff.
Yeah. I'm like, we could do it as a strategy video at the end. If you
want. Oh, that would be awesome.
Like, yeah, because that's what we usually do, this little sort of 10-minute clip at the end.
Okay,
so we'll do that at the end. We'll edit this bit out. So do you want to just sort of say that again so that you get it right? It's just so that...
CAD for it? Yeah.
Yeah, just so we don't have like people like in the comments going, oh, you said this and it, you know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to like, I like want to see my signal to make sure like I can just dial it in my brain, you know? Where to go? I remember that was a banger trade. I've been smashing it on fundamentals. Oh, okay. So then it would go, yeah. CAD is the second pair. It's going bearish, which means NZD CAD should go bullish.
So CAD was weak.
CAD was weak. NZ, yeah.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? I don't know why.
I've got no idea because I always struggle with the fundamentals. That's where I like struggle.
Anyway, all right, let me just say that last part. So since CAD CPI came out under expectations, I waited just for any, I literally said like in my signal room, I was like XXX CAD buys. And so I was just waiting for the right confirmation on any of them. And then it was NZD CAD. I end up popping in just like off my strategy. I see, hey, it retested like this level twice, boom, little breakout. And I scalped this. And literally, like, the precision I've been having in my trades has been insane recently. And I think it's just because I've been making more YouTube breakdowns. And those breakdowns teach me, like, when I'm recording and I'm analyzing my trade, whether it's a win or a loss, I'm learning so much from it that I'm just becoming a better trader day in, day out, you know?
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, just teaching other people usually helps the teacher in some instances more than the actual student, because you're the one executing it as well. Now, I mean, it's like these numbers are huge, right? So for somebody who is going like, okay, well, I want to try a flip a 5K account. I mean, how would you, what kind of things need to be in place for you to even start to consider that kind of approach?
I think definitely having the fundamental bias is already, because think of it like this. If you have your fundamental bias, you've already eliminated whether you're going to buy or sell. You know your direction. So that's already cleared out so much confusion in the market. And then it's just about finding where am I going to buy from, where am I going to sell from, and having the patience. So you always want to trade with volume. That's why I wait for these high impact news releases, because I've seen some of the best setups occur with no volume and they hit stop loss. And I've seen a decent setup occur, but it's at a time where we have volume and I smash take profit, you know? So that's one thing, like, just through the years I've learned is when you have the high volume, that's when you hit it. That's the one thing in common with all my big days, is there was some crazy volume that influxed the market. And everybody wants to act like I'm saying, hey, I do this every single day. No, I trade very aggressively 2 or 3 days, you know, if that, in the month. And then other days I'm more laxed. I'm taking, you know, scalps in between. But when I'm ready to put my money on the line, I mean, I'm ready to put 20, 30% of my account on the line and then gain, you know, this 400% return on my account.
So to the, like with news, and this sort of springs to mind for me, so that you get that the spread widening and, you know, some brokers and what have you say you can't trade news, or they don't like you trading news, or, I mean, how do you sort of deal with, I suppose, more the spread issue whereby you get these, you know, huge spreads and it can get you in at a crappy price. It can even stop you out when you sort of like just by doing what weird stuff. I mean, how does that work for you?
So for me, honestly, when I'm trading in news, like when I'm in it before, I usually like, I don't mind closing my trade early if it's really close to the entry, because I do understand that there's still great opportunities after the news is released. Everybody thinks just because you had one massive push that the trade is gone, right? And the spreads do tend to close within, you know, the first 2 minutes. And that's usually even the threshold of those prop firms. They don't like you to trade. But a lot of the times when I am trading after the news release, I find my entries like 5 minutes after the news is released. And it's simple, like you'll always see a big push either against the direction it's supposed to go or in the direction it's supposed to go, and then consolidation, and it's either going to correct or it's going to continue to move in that same direction. So I always wait for, are we in the same, or like if I'm looking for buys on CAD because of this, did the CAD pairs buy? Okay, yes. Did they consolidate and then did they break above again? Okay, now that's showing me, hey, you know what? We are priced into an area where this is going to continue to go. But if we're against the fundamentals, I wait for the correction and I try to hop in with that. And the same thing, if I'm in the trade before, honestly, I recommend doing a lot of research behind the broker you use, because when it comes to brokers, you don't want to mess around. You don't want your money to be locked and you don't want to get manipulated. So luckily, I've been using the same broker for like 2 years almost now, and I haven't had like those types of issues where it goes nuts on me, you know?
Right. So what about like what about your trading week/day? I mean, how do you not miss these news events if they may, I mean, happen in the middle of your night and that kind of thing? I mean, what do you do? How do you sort of manage all that stuff?
Right. So I always like to just check Forex Factory in the beginning of the week to know what's coming ahead of me, so I know what times I need to be awake at. So that's like one way I like to do it. I've definitely altered my sleep schedule to be around trading. So I used to live in Los Angeles. This week, I actually just moved to Miami. And so London session like opens up at 3 a.m. So on certain days, I'll sleep at 8 p.m. and I'll wake up at 1 a.m. to get up to make sure I can check the charts. If nothing looks good, I'll wake up again at 3 a.m. If it looks good, I'm active. And then I'll be ready to trade London and New York. Like if the right news is out, I will be there for both of them. Because to me, the money's not going to sleep. I could sleep later on, you know? Like, I want to get my money. I want to enjoy life. And I'm young too, man. Like, thank God I'm 20 years old. I'm doing this full time. So I'm willing to put my body, you know, to those kind of restless nights to make sure that I'm able to secure a lot of money and live the life I want to live.
Yes, and I suppose that's the sort of, not that I was going to say, it's not a trade. Well, it is, I suppose it is a trade-off. But you see, you know the benefit of doing it, and you're fully aware that by doing this, you're not going to be sitting up for, I mean, how long would you sit up for through a news event? Would it be a few hours or just?
No, I mean, I just like to check, like, about, you know, 30 minutes before it's going to happen. I like to hop on, see where we priced in. Do I have an entry? Yes. Okay, I'll take it. No. Okay, I'll wait for the news release. Within the first 5 minutes of that news being released, you should be able to identify if you're going to find your entry or if it's going to take a while. If you're going to find an entry, I stay on. You know, I don't like to be on the charts at once anymore, like more than 1 to 2 hours. I just haven't seen like the need to be on that long unless I'm on live stream and I'm educating people and I'm doing all that stuff, because I do YouTube live streams like very often. So almost every London session I'm on live, and a lot of New York's too. I've been on live just on YouTube for free for everyone, you know?
So when you mentioned earlier on, you do limits and limit orders. So when you're placing those limit orders, where are you looking to get your stop in? Is it like kind of at the lower of the order block, or are you going like much further?
So it depends. So to me, it's like I have like a kind of intricate way of doing it. So usually I wait for my higher time frame order block, and then I wait for price to be refined on the lower time frames within that order block. And if I feel like we just barely wicked into the first OB before we created the second one, like with our breaker structure, then I'm going to cover the entirety of the stop. But if we have a solid close and then we break structure, then I'm going to use a more aggressive stop and tuck it just above there. So I do that with order blocks, but also when it is these high impact news releases, I'm not looking to use order blocks. It kind of shifts like a bit to a more retail perspective where I'm heavily using trend lines and then supply and demand, and I'm entering manually. It's very rare that on these high impact news releases, I'm entering buys and sell limits. So that's like one thing that's changed with my style over the years.
Okay, yeah, that's because I was kind of thinking like it is, I mean, it's good in a way because you can get slipped into a better position, but the downside is you kind of like, you know, blind fading whatever's actually happening during the news. So what time frame do you enter in on?
The minute one, like almost strict.
Yeah.
Like all my entries come off the minute one. I will reference all the time frames, but my entries always come off the minute one.
And how many screens do you have to manage all the different time frames and entering?
Like my monitors?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I just have my iPhone and my laptop.
Okay, so you're sort of one of these guys that flips around, you know, the 5 minute closes, I'm going to look at the 5 minute, 15 closes,
yeah,
15.
Exactly.
Right, okay, and then...
And then I look at every single pair. I look at all the major crosses. I have 27 pairs that I'm actively monitoring. And it's because if there's 27 of them, all I need is one. All I need is one of them to look good. Which one of them looks the best for today? And I'm going to trade that one.
So this is where I get like confused in terms of how on earth do you actually do it? Because 27 pairs, right? So you obviously got news that's going to affect, let's say it is a CAD. So you've got, let's say 4 or 5 CAD pairs that you could potentially be trading. Some of them going in the different direction, i.e. US dollar CAD versus NZD. versus CAD JPY. So how do you go through all the time frames and all the pairs to find the best setup so that it's not like super confusing? Because I'm guessing multiple time frames, multiple pairs, only two monitors, it seems like the impossible task. How do you do it?
So to me, it's about identifying those things on the higher time frame. So like if you cannot just look for the first time at the chart and be like, this is in a good area, then it's probably not worth taking. Another thing is I like to couple certain pairs with certain sessions. So like if I'm going to trade Tokyo session, I'm going to be looking at the Australian pairs and the Japanese yen pairs. And then if I'm going to trade London, I'm looking at the Euro pairs, the GBP pairs. If I'm trading New York, I'm looking at the US pairs and the CAD pairs. So like I like to couple each session with its sort of, with its currency, you know?
And just so for people out there who, you know, hearing this for the first time and thinking, how do you even remember all this stuff? I mean, how do you remember it?
I think it's just muscle memory at this point. You know, I started out having the notebook, writing everything down, and just through time, you know, it becomes your life. You know, it's like, how do you remember to walk? It just becomes your life.
So, okay, then that makes perfect sense. Now, one question I have just remembered to ask, which I forgot to before, which was around that book you mentioned around fundamentals. Like, if somebody was to pick that book up, read through it, you know, try and study it, I mean, what do you think the percentage chance of the average human being, what would the percentage chance of them actually walking away with a very good understanding of how fundamentals work after reading that book?
Strictly out of that book, I'd say it's a 50-50.
Right, okay.
I think if you read that book and you do, you know, your due diligence, your research, and you start applying the factors with the charts and you start really studying all the data. So I believe if you do your due diligence on the charts and you really apply yourself with it, then that's when you make the bridge, right? It's like everybody can learn trading, but not everybody's going to be profitable. It's just the reality of it.
Now, let's dive back into the time when you were actually just doing purely technicals. I mean, it sounds like you had a damn good strategy working then. I mean, what was the sort of genesis behind it? I mean, how did you verify it, validate it so that you could, you know, make these 6 to 7 hour trades pretty much on a consistent basis?
So I discovered this, like, I had obviously understood the concepts of order blocks just from YouTube and from like courses or whatever, but it was literally just sitting there and finding out, like, okay, every time I hit a trade that won, I wanted to know, why did it only reach this low? Like, you know, if I was in buys, why did it only reach this exact point? Like, why couldn't my stops be tighter? Same thing with it, you know, if I was in sales, it was the other ways around. And even when I was in buys, okay, why did my take profit run to exactly this point? And I was just documenting everything. I was journaling every single step of it to figure out how I could be as precise of a trader as I could possibly be. Because I think the precision in the markets is what really allows you to, you know, take things to the next level. You could be floating 10R, but where'd you close at? You know, nobody cares about how many blues you put on your screen. They care about where you closed, how much you actually profited. The ability to actually execute is what separates traders from gurus. Honestly, anybody can teach this skill, anybody, but who can show up day in and day out and truly execute when time is, you know, is there? I've seen some huge people sell courses, blah, 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 but when they actually step on the charts, they don't know shit because it's a different game.
Yeah, there's definitely that bridge between the back test and, you know, knowing the strategy works, but then actually executing it flawlessly. It is a big leap. Now, I do want to ask the question around, you know, you said there you were like trying to work out, okay, why did price stop there at my take profit, or why did it go there and then never go any further on the stop loss sort of side? To even, because I mean, I've tried to do that before, right? Where I go, okay, why did it go there this time? But last time it didn't go that far. And then this time it seems to be inconsistent. How were you able to actually cut? Because I'll be honest, I've never really come up with a way to go, this always works, it always does this. How did you manage to come up with something discover something that gave you the confidence that it was always going to get to this point?
Right. So to me, it was in those breakdowns and journals that I was doing. And I mean, like, it would get to the point where I would be in bed and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, like, oh my God, I need to write this down because I just had another thought, you know, that just went through my mind of, hey, how can we make this work out a little better? So it was the idea of, okay, I knew obviously order blocks were for my entries. So then I was always looking for, all right, let's find like the most valid rejection order block as my target. And that's usually like now what I'm going for, because I'm like, hey, you know, if this is going to be valid for my buys, it's going to be valid for someone else's sells, maybe I don't see it, but we got to play it safe and get out at this point here. A lot of the times targeting my exact entry model as an exit model is what, you know, has allowed me to get out of there. And then other things, like recently I've started to notice, you know, imbalances in the market. Either we have this huge imbalance, and, you know, so if I'm in buys, there's the left candle, which is the higher one, and I'm targeting, you know, I'm trying to go up. There's the left candle, which is the higher one. There's the big gap in the middle, and then the right candle, which creates that wick on the top. or on the right side. And so I'll target that wick from the candle closest to me. A lot of the times I'll notice, hey, that's exactly where price started to slow down. Another thing is if price is already, you know, there are no imbalances, then that's when I start to look for, all right, that's the rejection order block now that I'm going to chase. So it's using these confluences, I guess, just from not being afraid to fail. Like I can lose 10 trades and I'm going to walk around with the same exact confidence I have, because I know that at the end of the day, every loss I'm going to learn from, it's going in the long-term investment portfolio. That's how I think of it. All my losses, I'm like, oh, these are coming back, you know, as way bigger wins later. Thank God I lost 3K today, because tomorrow I'm going to make 12. And I treat it like that.
We'll talk about mindset in a second. I just want to sort of like highlight for the guys that are listening that that is quite an interesting way to do it. And I've never really thought about it like that, ironically, is the whole, if you haven't, I mean, you could almost look at it like this. If you haven't got an exit, which is your entry when you're entering the trade, then don't take the trade. And maybe that's where I'm there. Maybe that's where I've been going wrong. Whereas I don't have the opposite entry to then get out of the trade. So therefore I'm just like getting in a trade that's never going to get out, or hasn't got a target to get out at, because people aren't looking to take the opposite direction. So anyway, that's me. But back to you, mindset. It sounds like you've actually got kind of, you know, a very positive outlook. Anyway, I'm wondering if there are anything you struggle with from a mindset point of view when you were, you know, starting out your journey, or even across the course of finding a bit of success and then, you know, having some failure. How did you overcome it?
Yeah, so to me it was always just like wanting to strategy hop, and I didn't have like the right psychology when I was trading. I wanted to blame other things. And the day that I decided, hey, you know what? I don't care. Even if I take someone's signal and it loses, it's my fault because I decided to execute their signal. That type of mindset where every single thing that happens is my fault, regardless of if some high impact news release came out against me and I lost the trade because of that, I can't blame the news. I decided to be in it at that time. Even if it was unexpected, let's just say tomorrow, just someone very famous or important passes away, right? God forbid. And the trade completely reverses. That's still my fault. I was in the trade at that moment. So things like that, like just having this next level of accountability where everything that goes wrong will be my fault so I can grow from it, is what allowed me to cross the bridge of being a struggling trader to being a profitable trader.
That's a very, very nice way to look at things. I mean, how on earth did you land on that as something to add in, or just to remind yourself of all the time? Because I think that's the key thing, is when you go, oh, that's great. Like somebody will listen to this and go, walk away and go, right, brilliant. Okay, accountability. 2 weeks down the line, they've forgotten this interview. And then not being accountable. I mean, how did you lock it in and dial that in for yourself?
So being an athlete, right? So I started playing soccer when I was 13 years old, which is really late. So when I was riding the bench, you know, I wasn't as good as the other players. And I wanted to blame the coach and do all this. And I remember my freshman year of high school, I rolled the bench. Like I did not see minutes. And all I did was say, man, the coach is this, the coach is that. It's all his fault. He's not playing me. I'm a good player. And then I started to be like, all right, maybe I'm not that good. Maybe we need to work harder. And I trained every single day. I put my head down. Me and my boy Tony started training that entire summer, carry on all the way until season started. And I just started like realizing, hey, you know what? Maybe there has to be some sort of reason why I wasn't playing. If I was really that good, it doesn't matter. The coach is going to play me. And so I started just getting better by working on myself. So having that background of sports where I've done that already, and I saw the improvement from it, because the next year after training and everything, I became MVP. There wasn't a single game I rolled the bench. Like I started every game. I was our top scorer and I was our MVP. So I saw the shift in, oh, hey, you know what? The hard work does matter. To me, I've never been the most talented. I've never been the best looking. I've never been the fastest, but I've always been just willing to go the extra mile.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Like, I mean, I was the same actually. I think I started playing football, soccer when I was like, oh, I might have been 10, and all my friends had started when they were about 5, and I was the worst player. And I actually made it in. I ended up getting into the rep team years later, which was like representing the sort of region. And I mean, I got MVP last year. And I'm knocking on the door of 50 here. So there you go. Now, and it wasn't my first MVP either. Right. Let's jump into a couple of final questions here and we'll dive into a quick fire round. So if there was one thing you'd recommend any retail trader spend the next month mastering, what would it be?
Fundamental analysis.
Okay, cool. How long did it take you to go from newbie to consistently profitable?
A year and a half.
Yeah, what's your favorite entry setup?
Higher time frame order block, refined to a minute five or lower. Price touches in, gives me another break of structure, setting a limit on that order block.
What about strategies to exit and manage trades?
Finding either the most valid imbalance in the market to target or finding the rejection order block if there is no imbalance.
Do you have a recommended trading book or resource?
I would say 100% the Art of Currency Trading by Brenton Donnelly.
Do you want to walk us through your worst ever trade?
My worst ever trade was...
Was that the one you mentioned already?
No, like my biggest ever loss, it was actually $30,000. Yeah. No, I was in Spain and I was on vacation with my brother and I was trying to do like an account flip. And so this was like one of my bigger account flips. I started out really strong. I started out like up 20K and then I lost 30K in a trade. So that was my biggest ever loss in one trade.
Yeah. Just on that, before we wrap the whole show up here, like, you know, for somebody to, I mean, you must have had a massive shift in your mind around, you know, when you're talking about a $30,000 loss. I mean, how do you get that shift in your mind? Is it just the numbers get so big you don't really, a $30,000 seems like, yeah, you get used to it. So it becomes like a $300 loss or whatever, or even a $30 loss if you've got no money. What was the big shift for you, like when that sort of money became like irrelevant?
It was definitely when I flipped 5K to 130K, because at that point I had been hit up by certain people in this industry who were like, hey man, like come work with me and I'm going to promote you and I can make it look like you did anything. Like we can fake all your trades. And I'm like, wait, what? You know, I didn't even know the site existed. And then my literal response to that was flipping 5K to 130K. And before anybody says this is fake, we have all the documentation on my Instagram. And we also, further than that, I did this live on YouTube. Like everybody, I literally put my phone on the screen so everybody could see it. I remember I like loaded up Zoom and I shared my phone screen onto it. And you could see me floating every single trade. You could watch me enter the trades and you could see the entire journey there. And it's not something that I do every single day. But when I do it, I make sure it's public and I make sure it's big. So even if you go to my Instagram, you're going to see I have a section called receipts where I explicitly point out, hey, I'm looking for this. I'm going to do this. And I'll show myself in the trade before this news happens or something. And it's like, to me, it's I'm willing to go that extra mile because I know every single step of me is real. And that's shout out to James Storms because he's the one who always told me, like, keep everything authentic. Keep it real with the people. Never look to create a bigger source of income than you're trading. He's like, and I even saw, he just posted on a story the other day. He's like, he said he tried creating a couple businesses to help him supplement money outside of trading. And he's like, he just got screwed over. He's like, trading is 100% you. You either know how to do it or not. If you know how to trade, nobody can take it. I can go broke tomorrow and I know I will be right back on top. I mean, thank God I'm 20 years old. I just bought my first Rolex. This is a Day-Date Presidential. I just got my first apartment in Miami. And, you know, I'm living a life that I couldn't even have dreamed of. To think about it, where 37 months ago, exactly, I had $67 in my bank. Now, you know, we've touched multiple six figures. I'm living on my own. I'm driving a Mercedes S-Class, EQS, and you know, I have a Rolex and all these things. It's a blessing. I went from not being able to purchase birthday gifts for my families to being, you know, to being the one that everyone's waiting for what gift they got them. So I thank God for everything, you know?
So just finishing the show up here, I mean, if you were to say, like, you know, because it is a phenomenal rise. And to be honest, mate, I didn't even know that you had achieved all this stuff before we met. And my impression based on the social media stuff I saw was completely different. So it's crazy how, I don't know why, but it just was, but it was a few weeks ago, so it's a little bit fuzzy. Anyway, how would you reckon, what steps would you say, like, to somebody listening to this, and they've listened all the way to the end, hey, if you want to do this in 37 months, here's what I recommend. What would those steps be?
I would recommend being real with yourself, being accountable, and being ready to take the risk. You know, I believe I've became this successful, and I'm not saying I'm successful yet. I believe I still have a whole journey to go to, but I believe I've reached this point and all the points that I will continue to reach because I'm willing to lose. Because no matter how many times I fall down, I'm willing to get back up. You have to have that mindset of fall down 7 times, get up 8. Fall down 20 times, get up 21. And there is no such thing as a reset. You keep going, guys. If you dug yourself in the hole, you don't just reset on life. You know, there's no reset. Come back up. Oftentimes, I think about it. I'm like, hey, this isn't GTA. As much as trading is starting to make life feel like GTA, it's not GTA. If you screw stuff up, you have one life. It's a lot harder to come back. You don't just respawn. So make sure that you're living a life that you don't screw up and that you set yourself to where your kids are going to be at a crazy level, where your family is going to be blessed for generations, and that you can create something bigger than yourself. You know, even one thing I really want to say is I've achieved great success, but I achieved insane success in my, you know, in comparison of what I've achieved, due to the fact that I've always wanted to help out. Everything I've done, I started to give back. So me and my buddies would like start to create every major holiday or something. We'd go, I'd buy hundreds of pounds of chicken and rice and all this stuff, and we'd prepare foods for homeless people. Or I have stuff set up back home in Egypt where I'm creating paying college tuitions for people and stuff like that, or feeding homeless people. Because you guys have to understand, a lot of people don't have it as blessed as we do. Mm. And if you're in a position where you can finally help these people, I swear to God, like, God will return this infinitely greater to you. And I'm not doing it to receive anything back. I'm doing this because I know these people need it.
Awesome. That's a great way to end the show. And before we wrap up, what's the best way for traders to get hold of you?
Instagram or my Discord. Honestly, the Discord, the free Discord, is like where I've been most active. And my Instagram DMs, I do my best to respond to everyone. There are a ton of DMs, but Discord, I think, is definitely the way to get a hold of me.
Brilliant. Well, look, big thank you to Ali for sharing with us today. Everything we've discussed here will be in a link below this video or in the podcast description. So go and click that, or if you're over there on TradingNut, just search for Ali in the search box and you'll find him over there. Until next time, wish all my listeners trading happiness and success.